Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today, we take our journey to Lucca, Italy. We have our guests, Jim Carnevale and Rod Daniel. Tell you a little bit about both. Jim was born and raised in Geneva, New York. After graduating from college, he moved to Washington, D.C., where he worked with the federal government as an architect. He took an early retirement from the Department of Justice in 2003. When his retirement was approved, he sent a message to the staff that said, "There is a rumor going around that I'm retiring. I want you to all know that it's true, and tomorrow is my last day." Rod was born in and raised in Greenville, South Carolina. After graduating from college, he moved to Washington, D.C. and worked as a member of the United States Army Band, retiring from the Army in 1993. He continued working as a school band director and finally retired in 2016. They have been together for nearly 43 years after meeting in Washington, D.C. in 1980. They quickly decided that the relationship was going to be something special after 2 months. After meeting, they decided that their cats should meet each other too, and they should merge households. That's pretty funny. Jim still quips that Rod was the one night stand who never went home. They were married in Skinny Atlas, New York in 2011. Upon Jim's retirement and after 30 years in Washington, D.C., they moved to Placitas, New Mexico, where Jim used his architectural skills to design their spectacular retirement home in the desert. I'd love to see pictures of that. While enjoying New Mexico, in time, they began to realize just how much they missed the urban life that they knew from their years in D.C. Also, after many years of discussing a possible move to a more urban environment in Italy, they made the decision to move to Lucca. 5 years later, they are solidly settled into life in Italy. Well, that sounds like a great story, guys. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming today. Yes. And tell us, what made you just say, okay, we're going to leave New Mexico? You had a beautiful house and you just decided that you were going to go to Italy.
We had talked about it for a long time. It just got to the point where here we are in this beautiful home in the desert. And it's like, okay, now what is there? Did we make the right decision in retiring here? And we also loved Italy. We have been coming back and forth there for years. And I have been a dual citizen. I had my dual citizenship registered, maybe 15 years ago. And we said, let's just take advantage of that and let's go. And Rod pushed me over and he said, if we don't do it now, would you say?
If we don't do it now, we'll never do it. And because we've just been talking about it for so long, I said, let's do it or let's stop talking about it.
So yeah, so we started to look into what did we have to do. And I had my citizenship, but I still needed to get my Italian passport. So we went out to Los Angeles to the consulate to get my passport. We also made an appointment for him to see the visa officer because we figured he would have to apply for what they call an elective residency visa. And she looked at us and she said, no, Signor Carnevale, you're married. I said, yeah, see, we've been married for a few years. She goes, you just go. Italy now has changed its laws. And as long as he's married to you as an Italian citizen, he doesn't need a visa. So get your marriage license. Oh, we had to get it apostilled and translated. And she goes, and you take that with you and register in the Comune di Lucca, and you'll be fine. And that's what we did. And we hired an attorney.
We just wanted to make sure we're doing it correctly. So we worked with an attorney that specializes in immigration. And it was amazingly simple. It wasn't expensive. And so for the two of us, we just shipped our stuff over and settled in.
Yeah, we went through everything that we had in our house. We decided, okay, we're going to sell the house. This is going to be a decision we're going to live with. We're just going to go. We're going to leave everything. We put the house on the market. And in a really crappy real estate market, it only took 8 days to sell it. It was a nice house. And we sold it, but we went over everything we owned, item by item. And we said, we'll take it, we'll leave it. We'll take it, we'll leave it. And we basically shipped over a 20-foot container. And then we just left what we wanted to behind. We had an estate sale lined up, and they came in actually right after we left that same morning to set it up, to sell everything. And we flew over. We took a couple of days to do the flight because we had Buster and Emmett with us, our two cats. And so we flew as far as DC, and we had a lot of friends there. So we got together for lunch and dinner with a couple of our closer friends and gave the cats sort of a break before putting them on the flight then from Dulles to Munich and then Munich down to Pisa. One of them, Emmett, was just a jewel through the entire thing. Didn't hear a peep out of him. And the other one, Buster, who's normally a really good traveler, howled the entire overnight flight from Dulles to Munich. It was not a pleasant situation at all.
Getting the paperwork for the two cats to move to Italy was actually more complicated than the two of us getting our paperwork going to Italy.
That's funny.
Yeah, and we had gone back and forth a few times when we were trying to decide where to go. We were visiting some other cities. We ruled out Milan because it was just a little bit too pricey. We were really, really hedging between Lucca and Rome. We found a neighborhood in Rome that was just like the neighborhood we had in D.C. And we lived right in Washington. We didn't live out in the suburbs. We were right off of Connecticut Avenue. We found a neighborhood very similar to what we had. We could afford to rent there, but we couldn't afford to buy there. So we came up to Lucca for a month and really started to really enjoy it. We were going to then maybe go back and forth 3 months here, 3 months there, and then just decided, no, screw it. We're just going to go. We found an apartment, had some basics set up so that when we got here, we'd have a bed, we'd have a coffee maker. The sofa had just been delivered from IKEA, which is how you pronounce it here. It's not IKEA. It's IKEA. And so we were good to go. So we came in with the cats, went across the street for a pizza. We were just exhausted. And we were sitting out on the balcony and we could hear some music in the not too distant neighborhood. And we're listening and we're listening and we're like, all of a sudden, this is what I said, pardon my French, but holy shit, it's Pink Floyd. And they were playing in concert about a block and a half away. So wow. We just sat there our first night here, grooving on the music and said, oh, we're going to like living here. And Rod can tell you the arts scene in Lucca is amazing.
Well, I think that we're going to talk about that more.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, okay, we'll get into that.
As well. So tell us, geographically speaking, where is Lucca within Italy?
Lucca is in the province of Tuscany, and Tuscany is the central part and the western part of Italy. It has a long coastline with Via Reggio and Forte di Marmi and some really charming beach towns. It's got a lot of the historic hill towns that people love to visit. But it's right in the center. It's very agricultural. And a good bit of Tuscany is considered is part of the World Heritage Sites. And it's charming, it's lovely, and it's from Lucca and from Tuscany, you can reach most of Italy in a day's drive, but all of Southern Europe is within a easy car drive, and we can be in France in 3 hours.
Yeah, physically, we're right pretty much about a 45-minute to an hour drive west of Florence, and we're about 20 minutes northeast of Pisa. So right between Florence and Pisa. On a really nice rail. We're on a local rail line that we can pick up the high-speed express trains in either Pisa or Florence that'll get us pretty much anywhere in Europe. But we broke down, we bought a car, so we don't do the train a whole lot. We drive a lot. We do road trips, day trips, and things like that.
Is the Leaning Tower still there?
Leaning Tower's about 15 minutes away. And everybody that comes to visit has to make a quick trip there.
Oh, of course.
And Pisa actually is an interesting city. There's a college, big university center, and a medical center. So there's a lot going on there, good restaurants. And if you can catch the tower when it's not high tourist season, it's a beautiful place to visit.
So. Yeah, just sort of to hang out and walk around. Pisa's got some decent restaurants that are other than Italian. Italy, I'm afraid Italy, not Italy, but Lucca, your choice of restaurants either going to be Italian or Italian.
Or Italian.
Or Italian.
Or sometimes Italian.
Or there are some Japanese restaurants that are really Chinese restaurants with sushi.
Okay.
But Pisa's
but
got,
they're really Italian.
Got a little bit more variety. And then Pisa also has the Ospedale Cicinello, which is the Cicinello Hospital, which is they're finishing up, in addition to it now, will be the largest medical center in the entire EU. So we've got some good stuff there.
Interesting. Tell us about the climate of the summer.
Yeah, right now it's humid. Cold.
It's freezing in the winter?
No, not generally not. We're having a cold snap right now.
Cold spell?
In the summers, it's hot. And this past summer, all of Europe was experiencing what we think is a bit of climate change.
Yes.
Our temperatures were record high, so you really needed air conditioning. We belong to a health club that has a really nice outdoor pool, so we spent a lot of time lounging by the pool to deal with the heat.
Now, where you're dealing with 115, 120 degree temperatures in the summer in Phoenix, hot here is 95. And
okay.
we broke in the high 90s, maybe 100, one or two times over the course of the summer. So
are you
really
humid?
It's
humid.
It's called a Mediterranean climate. And so we get a lot of moisture. We don't have much rain. The summer was very dry.
Spring oh, really?
Pretty dry. But the winter tends to be cool and damp and spring kind of cool. So you get a chance to wear the nice jackets and the fashionable scarves and stuff in the wintertime.
September, right. October, November are delightful here.
Beautiful.
March is so-so. April is really, really nice. May is nice. Sort of, there are chances of some rain in the spring. Now, this December, it rained almost every day. I mean, we were ready to build an ark. It was pretty rainy. But
you probably needed it.
It's four seasons, but the winter here is a very mild winter. It's a very Mediterranean mild winter.
That's good.
Our normal temperatures, our normal daytime highs pretty much break 50 every day in the winter.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's pretty decent, yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely nice. Does Lucca have an expat community?
Pretty big one, actually.
There's a large expat
community. Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not just Americans. A lot of Brits have moved here, particularly before Brexit. It was very easy for folks from the UK to settle legally into Italy without much paperwork. Now it's a little bit more challenging. A lot of Australians are here, and a lot of the expat community like to socialize together, and there are venues where people get together and chat and so forth, and we actually choose not to do that so much because a lot of the expats might be here for 6 months and then they go, or they might be here maybe for a year and then they go, and we really want to connect more with the local community that's here to stay.
We're really kind of snobby about it. We really don't, at our age, we don't want to invest a lot of emotion and energy and everything to build a nice deep friendship. And all of a sudden,
somebody leaves.
They leave, you know, and it's just because we've only been back to the United States like zero times in 5 years. So we don't really feel like going back to visit friends. We have the friends come over here. We'll go back to visit some family. We might go back this year. It'll be our first trip back to the States. But
why do you think expats leave? Do you have any idea? Is it just they come temporarily?
I think a lot of people are out for the adventure and they really aren't committed to one place. They want to spend some time in Italy and maybe some time in the Far East and maybe some time in South America. They're exploring.
And with some of our friends, it's been, or acquaintances really, it's been like grandchildren and children that they go back for. They miss the grandkids. So they've had their adventure. They've lived here for a couple of years and then they're going back to Italy. Not Italy, going back to America or wherever.
Right.
Wherever they happen to be from.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So we're really kind of particular. We really sort of like scope things out. And when somebody lets us know that they're committed to spending the rest of their lives here, then we'll investigate the prospects of developing a good close friendship. And we've got some expat friends here that we're very close to. But we've started to really make some good close friends who are Italian. And once you can break the ice and develop a friendship with an Italian, you're family. You are absolute family. And we've got some close friends here that literally look at us as family. It's an interesting friendship with you'll probably ask us more about the language as we get into it. But we've got one friend, she's our language instructor. We've been friends with her from DC from 1995.
Wow.
You remember the night that her first son was born? And recently he was asked if he had any family left in the United States. And he said, no, the only family I had left in the United States just moved to Lucca a couple of years ago. So that's what it's like when you're friends with the locals.
There you go. So do people typically have a language problem if they move to Lucca or in Italy in general?
Yeah, if they don't learn the language, they do, because Italy has probably the lowest percentage of English speakers of any of the EU countries.
That is really interesting. Do you think that is?
It's like, do you have any reason that you got to learn English? This is your country. You live here. It's like, this is our language. I don't know. I really don't. But so we've really worked on our language skills. And at this point, while we can't pick up a legal document and understand it, Rob reads Italian novels now. And we can pretty much work through any situation and weasel our way out of it and get through it okay. And with a lot of our Italian friends, they don't speak any English. So when we've got company coming for dinner and it might be one or two Italian couples, the entire night's going to be in Italian.
Italian.
Yeah.
Well, that's great that you're fluent.
Yeah. So it really is. We really take pride in that. But I always preface it with, io capisco un pochino italiano. Wait, no, it's io parlo un pochino italiano, ma io capisco niente. I speak a little Italian, but I don't understand anything. And they usually laugh, and that breaks the ice, and then we
right.
And that.
How long did it take you to learn the language?
Years.
30 years.
I've been working at it since we took our first Italian lesson in D.C. in 1989. And then in 1995, when we met Andreina and started taking lessons from her, we started to get more and more serious with it. And we stayed in touch with her. She came back over to Italy. And now we do lessons with her twice a week. We see her socially a couple times a month, her and her kids and her new fella and stuff like that. And so it's really quite a nice situation. And she paid me a beautiful compliment a couple of weeks ago. And when she was telling me that I've just about lost all of my American accent when I'm speaking, that I'm now speaking very much like a native. And I was like, that's all right. That's
good.
That's pretty good.
I could tell the skinny Atlas accent.
Yeah.
I think, though, it's critical no matter where you land. If you're in a country where English is not the native language, you have to learn the language. Because here in Lucca, we go to a restaurant, the waiter's going to deal with English. You go to a hotel, they're going to speak English. But if you call the cell phone company, they're not going to speak English. If your car breaks down, they're not going to speak English. You've got to be able to speak the language to get by so that you can live without stress. Otherwise, you're going to stress over those language interactions. And it has not been easy. We've worked. There are established levels of language documentation, I think, that are kind of universal. I know throughout Europe, there's a A1 level, which means you can go to the train station and ask for a train ticket. Then there's an A2, and you can kind of get by with that. Then by the time you get to B and C, you're getting up to college level comprehension and speaking. And we're getting through all those. But you have to work at it. It's not easy.
Yeah.
We're both fairly solid level B speakers, and we're fairly fluent. But seriously, you have to be. I mean, at our age, we both have had bouts. We've both been hospitalized. And
yeah, it's important to speak their language.
Of the doctors that we've come in contact with and have had appointments with, some don't speak a word of English. And you've got to be able to understand what they're saying to you. And it's important.
Right.
We don't want to have to hire a translator for every time we have a medical appointment or every time we want to do this or that. Our dentist, she's terrific. She's in the neighborhood. She's right around the corner. Couldn't be more convenient. And she doesn't speak a word of English. 2 years ago, we bought the flat that we're currently living in, renovated the entire thing from top to bottom. Of everyone, the architect that we work with spoke two words of English. Google Translate. Those are the only two words he knew. All of the others were all Italian speakers except for the electrician. He spoke fairly fluent English, which was really kind of handy because he really helped us do some pretty creative stuff with the electronics in the house.
Excellent. So guys, what about the LGBTQ community? Does one exist in Lucca, or is it important to you, or is everybody just live and let live type?
We've reached the age, honestly, where being a part of the LGBTQ community is not critically important to us. What's important is that we are accepted as a couple. And so there are gay people in Lucca, but there's not really a gay community. Everyone knows that we are a couple, that everyone knows that we're married. No one has any problems with that. Our doctors don't have a problem. Our neighbors don't have a problem. When we go to the comune and we talk about our marriage, no one there has a problem with it. So we feel very comfortable here. But there's like no gay dance clubs or gay bars to hang out. There are a few neighborhood bars that might have maybe a gay owner and maybe a little bit of a gay vibe, but it's not like you go there to meet somebody. It's
right.
And we do have gay friends here in Lucca.
Oh, we do, absolutely.
We do have gay friends. It's not a huge community like we had in D.C.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But we do
it's
have
not
gay
DuPont
friends.
Circle.
And the important part is we can be openly gay, we can be honest, and nobody really cares.
And that's old good. Men always walk holding hands.
So yeah, it's, you know, and what I love important, it. What was important, though, because of some religious things in Lucca, not Lucca, but in all of Italy, and thank you, Papa Francesco, or whatever the Pope is, the Catholic Church is really putting a ban on gay marriage in Italy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you cannot get married. If you're a gay couple, you cannot get married in Italy.
Really?
Okay. Really.
I didn't know that.
But
was it legal at one time?
No, it never has.
It was never legal.
Right. But because Italy is part of the European Union.
Right.
Italy is required to recognize and give full rights to same-sex couples who are married outside of Italy.
So you can't get married in Italy, but if you get married anywhere else in the world or the EU, they will recognize your marriage.
Yeah, exactly.
You can hop a flight to Spain
because
you can come back with that document.
Yeah, it's like you cannot get married in Italy, but you can be married in Italy.
Hmm.
And we found that out when we were getting ready to come over and we went to get a visa for Rod, thinking that he's going to have to come over on a visa. And she said, no, he's your spouse. You just go. And you can be married there and Italy will recognize it. They said the laws have changed and Italy has to recognize it.
Do you think it will ever change?
It's really not too bad.
Do you think it'll ever be changed as far as marriage equality? Like as far as getting married?
Someday, I'm sure.
But you know, as long as they recognize that we are a married couple, and like for example, when we bought the apartment. And things like that. We're both on the deed. It's both of ours as a married couple and things like that. That's all we care about. That's what's important to us. We've both been hospitalized here. And my first hospitalization was 4 years ago. And, you know, later, I guess in the discussion, we'll get more into the medical side of life in Italy. But we decided to go the private route and I paid for the surgery and the hospitalization. And we were in a private Catholic hospital in Bologna. And because of the fact that I went private and I had a private room, there were two beds. And she said, this nun said, as I was checking in, is anybody going to be with you? And I said, yes, he'll be with me. And she said, and what's your relationship? I said, he's my husband. And she didn't even flinch. She said, okay, fine, welcome.
That's good.
And so that's kind of like the way it is here. There, people are okay with it. Now, I'm not saying it's 100%. Yes, there is some homophobia in Italy. It's everywhere. There's a percentage of it that's everywhere. But for the most part, you can be gay here and be very comfortable.
Okay. So there are no gay bars. Okay, we went over that. That's fine. Tell us about the local economy. What is it like to purchase a home or a condo? Can you give us some idea of price range, maybe on some rental property as well? What is it like with your electric bills and your utilities?
Yeah, Lucca has an historic center. Lucca is a very unique city in that there's a Renaissance wall that completely encircles the city. And it's wide. There's a roadway up on top. There's parks. There's areas with benches and picnic areas, and it's a real park and all that. Inside the walls is very popular. It's what everybody wants on House Hunters International, where one member of the couple wants to be inside the historic center and the other one wants to be out in the country. Inside the historic center here is a little bit pricier, but you can find a decent apartment for about 1,500 euro a month.
Inside.
Between 1,000 and 15, which is between about 11, on the current exchange rate, between 11 and $1,600 a month.
Is that a two-bedroom, you would think?
Two-bedroom, three-bedroom, or two-bedroom den. Generally, it's a walk-up. There's very few elevators inside. Or you can be outside the walls, and it's considerably less expensive. For 4 years, we rented a really nice three-bedroom, two-bath, two balconies, kitchen, living room, dining room. If you cross two streets, you're inside the wall, so it's really close to it. We paid €650 a month on a four-year lease. We had a garage and a separate dedicated parking space.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, so when we bought, we were looking at a flat on the ground floor inside, but it was too much of a pain in the neck because it was an historic property. It was built before 1500, and the city had some very specific things that we could and could not do with the renovation of it. And after 2 years of dicking around with the Comune di Lucca, we just gave up on it and walked away from it, got our deposit back, and we bought a flat in San Concordio. And San Concordio we're about 200 meters from the wall. So again, we're like right there, just
right
about
there.
But as soon as you come outside the wall, you leave the tourists,
goes down.
You leave the English speaking, and you're really in Italy. And
right.
So it's a 1,400 square foot, three bedroom, two bath, kitchen, living room, dining room, three balconies, a dedicated parking space in a building with an elevator, and we can literally walk to virtually everything we need. And we paid $245 for the apartment and then put another, how much was the renovation? Another 200?
Close to 200.
Close to 200 to renovate it. But the only thing original in this apartment now is just the front door.
In still fact, pretty good.
In fact, you could buy an apartment this size in these neighborhoods for about $250. And if you weren't particular about how the interior looked, you could just leave it like that. We didn't care for the way it was finished, so we just ultimately gutted the place. And we put in
new electrical, new heating, air conditioning, a new kitchen, two new bathrooms, flooring, lighting, everything. Everything is brand new. I think we did. I think I sent you some pictures of it. I think it's a pretty cool apartment. We're really pretty.
That's great.
Cats love it. And then we added a third cat to the collection, being Burmese, called Pasqualina. She's the little princess.
Pasqualina. But
as far as the cost, Lucca being in Tuscany is more expensive than most of Italy. There's a certain cachet to living in Tuscany that people find appealing. So you pay a price for that. If you go to southern Italy, we have some friends that bought their own house for under 30,000 euro.
Wow.
And they spent maybe another 20 doing some simple upgrades to it. So you can live much cheaper in different parts of Italy. Rome is going to be very expensive. Milan is very, very expensive. Milan's like going to Manhattan.
Yes.
But we chose to be where we are, but it's still much less than we were spending in the United States.
How about utilities? What's that like?
Right now, we're held hostage by gas prices because of the war with Ukraine and Russia, and all of Europe is paying higher prices. But we just got our bills for December, and electric, we half heat with electric and half heat with gas, depending on our mood at the moment. But our electric bill was about $240 for the month, and our gas bill was just a little over $100. So $350, which I think, given the climate, the political climate, is not bad for right now. It's higher than it would have been a couple of years ago.
And you have air conditioning?
We have air conditioning.
And this past summer, we ran the air conditioning. We have five, they call them splits. They're the European-type unit that sits sort of up near the ceiling. And we have one in each bedroom, one in the dining room, one in the living room. And we had one. We only do it in the room where we are at the time.
Right.
It's a lot
Makes
more
sense.
Efficient. And so we ran at least one unit 24/7 for the months of June, July, and August.
Can't blame you.
Our highest electric bill was about $250.
That's not bad.
Which is not bad at all. Our gas over the summer was running us maybe 25 or 30.
That's really good too.
Just for hot water and cooking. When we did the apartment had a heat pump system for heating and air conditioning when we bought it. And we replaced it with the individual splits and five of them. But what we decided to do is we put in a boiler and radiators as a secondary system because we wanted, talk about being spoiled. We wanted radiators in the bathroom, the vertical ones that you can hang your towel on so that we can turn the radiators on a cold morning like this morning and warm up our towels when we get out of the shower. We can dry our
towels
with a warm towel. And so that's why we have the secondary system. And we've been using it a little bit because it's been cold over the last few weeks. And we've been running that to take the chill out of the apartment. But we set it at about maybe 69 or 70. We don't set it too high. Takes the chill out, and it costs us a little bit more, but it's okay. Water is not that expensive. We have trash removal. Since we have no mortgage, living here actually is really pretty inexpensive. And also, as first-time home buyers, and it's our primary residence, for as long as we live in this apartment and own it, we do not pay any real estate or property taxes at all.
Ever.
Wow.
Ever.
Why?
That's just the way it is. I mean, we have a 22% sales tax on everything we buy, but we don't pay property tax. It's a taxation thing. And different jurisdictions tax you different ways.
Yep.
And we don't pay property tax here, which is really pretty nice, actually.
How about cell phone bills? Is that
really cheap?
It's really cheap. It might cost us our internet. Our cable TV is free. We get Italian television comes through a satellite dish, and that doesn't cost us anything. I think there's a 10 euro a month TV tax on our electric bill, something like that. We don't really pay attention. When they get that small, we don't pay attention. Our internet is about 45 euro a month, and that's for fiber internet. That's really wow. High speed. And then our cell phones, what we do is we just buy time, and it's really cheap. I put $50 on our phones, each of our phones, a couple of months ago, and I think we're down into the 20s now. It costs us about $12 a month per line.
That's really cheap.
For our cell phone service.
That's great.
Now, gasoline, we don't even want to go there. I mean,
that's expensive.
At the high point, when gas hit a high point last spring, and I translated it over to American dollars, we were paying about $12.50 a gallon.
Wow, that's big.
It's always been expensive in Europe, but the cars get good mileage.
Yeah, the cars
kilometers per gallon.
The cars get good mileage, and we don't have to drive far to go anywhere.
If I decided to move to Spain, I'd get rid of the car. I would just take the trains.
A lot of people do that.
A lot of people do that, and that is what we said.
We thought we would do that.
We started renting cars. We figured, well, we bought bikes. We were biking around town, and then we would rent cars when we wanted to. So it was really pretty funny. I mean, we'd rent them for 2 weeks and then a month. And then it got to the point where didn't Auto Europe actually got in touch with Rod and said, can you bring the car back? He was extending it month after month after month.
At that moment, it was very cheap to rent it. And they said, we'd like to have the car back.
Yeah. So then we said, let's look at leasing. And they wouldn't let us lease because all of our income was from the United States. And so then finally we just looked at the guy in the dealership and we said, screw it, let's just buy it. And so we bought, it was a nice little car. It was a Fiat Tipo, which is not available in the States. It's a little wagon like a Subaru Outback. It was great on gas, comfortable to get around in, and
that was about 15,000 euro
new
off the lot, brand new.
Out of the showroom is 15,000 euro, which at the time was about $17,000.
Yeah.
So we really enjoyed it. It was a nice little car. Then after we renovated the apartment, we took what little we had left over and we said, screw it, let's just blow the budget. And we bought an Audi, brand new Audi A4 sedan.
Nice.
And the first thing we just looked at each other and said, road trip. And we plan over the spring, we're going to go down into the south and want to check out Abruzzo, Puglia, and the Adriatic coast. And then over the summer, we've got some road trips planned into the south of France.
Nice.
And then in October, we've got tickets to see Pink Martini. I don't know if you know the group. It's a really nice small jazz orchestra from Portland, Oregon. And we're going to go see them in Paris. And that'll be a road trip.
That's such a good thing living there.
We had all good intentions of no car, take the train, do this, do that. And that fell short. And it's like, screw it. We like having a car. We like the freedom of it.
Yeah.
One of the things about having a car is you have to have a driver's license. And Italy does not accept the U.S. license. You can't swap it out for an Italian license. Most of EU countries, you can just swap it for
an Italian license.
Not the U.S. Not a few other countries you can't. So getting a license here is a major life accomplishment. I actually went to driving school three nights a week for several months to study for it. I've been driving for 50 years, but
right.
It doesn't matter. So I had to take a written test, and then you still have to do a driving class and do a driving test. And when the tester person got in the car with me to do the test, he asked me how long I've been driving, and I said, for 50 years. And he just laughed. He said, I'm not even that old yet. And we literally just drove around the block and back, and he said, you've got your license, you're fine. But
that's Italy, because Spain, Portugal, France, most other European countries will do an exact swap for your American license. You turn in your American license, like Portugal and Spain, turn in your American license, they'll give you a local license.
Spain doesn't do it anymore.
Italy doesn't.
And neither does Spain.
Oh, Spain doesn't either?
Portugal.
Nope. Portugal does.
Portugal does it. Italy won't do it. And I was asking around as to why. And it's because the United States has 50 different states with 50
different licenses.
Rules for how to grant a license.
Right.
And so Italy just says, no, you're going to do it our way or you're not going to drive.
Yeah.
You can drive for up to 1 year after your first day of official residency as a permanent Italian resident. And you've got 1 year to do it. Well, that year came, that year went. I still don't have one, so I've got that whole thing to look forward to now.
Ah, so Rod's the chauffeur.
Yeah, I like that. That's
at
nice.
The moment, yes.
At the moment. I don't mind that, though. I really don't. And what I do is I'm the disc jockey. Because we've got a little iPad with all of our music on it, and it Bluetooths into the radio. So I just sit there and play tunes.
And play the music.
Down the highway. It works out well.
I'm with you. My husband does all the driving pretty much, and I just sit back and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few good phrases that really, La Vita e Bella is one of them. But my favorite is the way I like to live my life in Italy is la dolce far niente. La dolce far niente is the sweetness of doing nothing.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. It has a good ring to it, too.
In Italy.
So you know, speaking funny, of...
People think, oh, God, you guys lead the good life. And you're living the dream, et cetera, et cetera. It's so wonderful. It's like, no. It's like, I get up in the morning, I got to take a shower, we got to do laundry, we got to get groceries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We just do it in a different country.
That's right. All. Yeah.
It's really no different. I mean, we travel, but not like constantly. It's not some expats do. Some expats are on the go continually. We like to savor life in Italy. It's like in the summertime, or actually we go to the gym pretty regularly. But in the summertime, when they've got the pool open and they've got this retractable canopy and the scenery is spectacular.
Sure.
Italian men of all ages, they're all in Speedos all the time. But it's really nice. I mean, we just enjoy the pool. When we're done at the pool and we get cleaned up afterwards, there's a little bar at the gym. And we just sit there and have a couple of beers and relax and then saunter on home, try to figure out what are we going to do for dinner, things like that. But it's a typical day.
That's nice. That's nice. Talking about driving and everything, is there public transportation in Lucca?
Public transportation is great. There's a public bus system that will get you all through the town and through the suburbs very easily. And there's a train station right at the center of the city
that
will take you to anywhere in Europe. You just have to connect to another station. And then we have Pisa and Florence airports that are both about a 30, 40-minute drive away. So
that's great.
Get by
the train station is about a 10-minute walk from our apartment.
Oh, that's really good.
So and right
is, that a lo- is that local or could that go anywhere else in Europe?
That's local, but connects.
Connects to local to high-speed rail?
A local line that runs from Viareggio to Florence. It does a bypass down into Pisa. But then in Pisa or Florence, you can pick up the high-speed trains that go all over Europe. Now, like, say if you want to do, if you want to go to Paris, take the local to Florence, take a high speed up to Milan, and then you connect to another high speed that goes right into Paris. And then air travel in Europe is really pretty cheap. There's ValueJet and Ryanair and Wizz Air. And it's Pisa. The last time I priced it, Pisa to Paris was 29 euro one way.
Wow.
If you want to carry on, it's another 15 euro. And if you want to check a bag, it's another 25, et cetera, et cetera.
If you want to sit down. And...
Yeah. But the base fare is 29 euro. From Pisa to Paris.
So is the infrastructure in your town, in your city, is it self-sufficient where you could walk to the grocery, walk to the bank, walk to the pharmacy, so on and so forth, walk to shopping?
Inside the old historic center or the neighborhoods around the historic center, you can do all those things. Every neighborhood has its little commercial area with the bank and multiple banks and restaurants and the doctor's office and the buses will take you there. So yes.
Yeah. We can literally look outside our bedroom window to the back side of the pharmacy. Okay. Our dentist.
That's convenient.
Yeah. Our dentist is right around the corner, as is our three or four good pizzerias. I'm looking right at the front of a really nice panificio, which is a little bread bakery directly across the street. Down the block is Esselunga. And Esselunga is a grocery store chain in northern Italy that's comparable to Kroger's, Bosch's, Big. And it's got everything except it's all Italian. That's what's right. Really nice. They've got the pasta aisle is enormous. Both sides,
sure.
Not just 10 feet of Barilla. Both sides, yep. With every imaginable shape that you'd ever want to see. Plus another whole section of fresh pastas. And there's butcher shop and fish and cheeses like you wouldn't believe. And a nice bakery and wines and liquor and frozen, everything. Everything
and
you
wine
want.
Wine is pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, you can find wine for under $2, €1.50 for some. And then also in the neighborhood on the backside of our block is the Audi dealer, and that's partially why we bought an Audi. But there's everything you'd want within, how long take to walk to Esselunga? 10 minutes maybe at the most? Not even 10 minutes.
5 minutes to walk to the store.
5 minutes. Oh, we've got a pasta shop around the corner. We've got a couple of different green grocers, and then about two doors down every Tuesday in the parking lot of another spot is a little farmer's market year-round. Right now, it's mostly potatoes and root vegetables, but a year-round year-round vegetable market, every farmer's market every Tuesday morning.
Awesome.
Everything you want is within a very short walk. We've got the car because we're road trippers. We want to be able to do a day trip to Siena, a day trip to all these other different places. Florence is an hour away.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, the beach is only 35 minutes to the first point, and then you could go further north or further west to several different places. We're about maybe, an hour and how long to Cinque Terre?
About an hour and a half to Cinque Terre.
Maybe an hour and a half. Lake Como is a couple hours away. Milan.
I heard that's beautiful too.
Lake Como is just stunning.
Yeah, I know some people
Bologna's
that went there for a few times.
Excuse me.
There's Bologna, Modena, Parma. They're all fairly close by.
We drove to Venice and it's about a 3-hour drive. There's a big parking garage right where you catch the boats that take you to your hotels and stuff. So you just drive and drop the car. It's
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
How about restaurants? You guys like food?
Yeah. If you like Italian.
So is it just Italian, or international cuisine?
And I often say, because my family is all from Southern Italy, so I'm used to eating more of my grandmother's style of Southern Italian food. So I always joke and say, I didn't move to Tuscany for the food. It's a lot of roasted and grilled meats and beans.
A lot of seafood when you get closer to it.
Yeah, a lot of seafood. Decent seafood.
I love
seafood.
That.
Good seafood. But
how about the restaurant scene?
Ethnically, there's a mediocre German restaurant. There's several Chinese restaurants that are really run by Chinese. And they have a full Chinese menu with sushi. And they're decent. We go, but I've been an avid cook all my life, and it's just down the street. So I'll get some fresh pasta and things to go along with it. And tonight I fixed for supper, we fixed Tuscan pork and beans. It's actually salsicce con fagioli. Okay, Italian sausage and a nice sauce with cannellini beans. And it was just put
stuff. Sounds great.
Good.
Well, one of the nice things about the restaurants in Lucca is they're all very small. And if you go there more than two or three times, you get to know the staff. And if you go there a lot, you become like family.
Family.
We have a few that we're very regular with, and it's like going to grandma's house for dinner. It's not fancy, but it's good, and you can sit down for 2.5 hours, and they're not going to hurry you away because they never flip a table. When you sit down, it's your table for the night.
Yeah, that's what I love about Europe.
Yeah, we've got one real favorite, Trattoria Gigi. And Gigi is owned by this really cool guy, Carmine. And I sent him an email. I'll just say, Carmine, give us a table tonight at 8. And just sign it, Jim. When we walk in there, there's a little piece of brown paper torn from a paper bag that just says Rod and Jim on it. So we just go to where our table is, and he fixes us a wonderful meal. And he always ends up giving us a discount. And then there's another phenomenon called the pranzo di lavoro, the worker's lunch. And every day at lunchtime, there's several restaurants all over. I don't know how extensive they are beyond Tuscany, but there's a lot of them that have it. For 10 to 12 euro, you get a pasta course, you get a second course, you get a jug of wine, you get a couple of side dishes, and what else do you get? Water.
Coffee, and they call it coffee corretto.
Yeah.
And coffee corretto has liquor in it that's been corrected.
I was going to say, does it make you go to the bathroom?
So at the end of the meal, I'll just say, I'll do a corretto grappa, and it's a shot of espresso with a shot of grappa in it. And that's how I end the meal. And they run from 10 to 12 euro.
Now, these are workers' lunches because they're actually designed for people who are working.
Yeah.
Who are working.
And you'll look at these people in their road construction uniform or their missions uniform, and they're killing a bottle of wine and a coffee corretto. Then they're going back to your house to do the wiring.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, my God. That's hysterical.
And generally, it's a lot of times you're at shared tables. They'll seat you at a table for six.
And the food is always
And then good. There'll be four more people that'll either join you or are already there. You get to know them. We've gotten to know a few people that are real regulars. There's one just outside the walls on the north side of Lucca. And they go in, they seat us. They have a cafe afterward that they call it a bamba. And I have no idea what's in it, but it'll put hair on your chest and curl your toes. And you don't dare drink a second one and drive. But they're really, it's a cool phenomenon. We generally don't do it that often because we want to at least stay somewhat svelte. But maybe once a month we'll go someplace for a pranzo di lavoro.
Yeah, and enjoy it.
Even in just outside of Pisa, there's a little Chinese restaurant that has a pranzo di lavoro, and you get the appetizer, the first course, the second course, the bottle of water, and all of that. They're only 8 euro. That's pretty cheap.
So is it like in Spain, siesta? Do they take an hour and a half, 2 hours?
Every day.
A lot of the smaller stores do, yes.
Yeah.
Do they close up? Do the stores close up in the afternoon?
that between the hours of about 1 and 3:30, you're going to find most places are closed. But then again, they're open until what, 8 at night?
Yeah.
Is that generally a Europe thing?
Well, yeah. And I always thought, well, it's a siesta. You know, you go home and you take eat a quick lunch and take a nap. But it's not it. That's not what it's about. It's about having a long, leisurely lunch with your family.
Family, right.
It's family. Yeah.
It's family time every day.
That's good.
They go back and work till late in the day. So they're putting in a long day's work, but they get a break.
Right. Quite different from the U.S.
Yeah. And sometimes it's kind of annoying because you got to plan your day around it. And if you're out running errands, all of a sudden everything's going to be closing at 1 o'clock. And then, you know, you're twiddling your thumbs until 3:30, or else you go to lunch yourself. And
if you're in a bigger city, that's pretty much not the case anymore, that things stay open. But in the small towns, particularly if a store is owned by mom and dad and no one else is there to take care of it, they're just going to close for a couple
hours. Yeah, and Lucca closes at lunchtime. But like Rome, Milan, and some of the other bigger cities, they're open. They're open for the duration.
Yeah, because it's a big tourist destination. Yeah. What would you say, tell the audience about the crime situation? Is there a big crime situation or is it just petty theft?
The only thing we say is lock your bike.
Bicycles are a big thing.
Home break-ins are not real common, but they're not uncommon either. So, I mean, our building is behind a gate, and the building itself is locked, and then the door to our apartment has a pretty secure deadbolt on it, like with like a half a dozen prongs that go like 4 inches into the wall.
That's like, get smart.
It's a pretty good deadbolt. But for the most part, violent crime doesn't exist.
Well, you don't have guns.
No,
we don't do guns. And you can go walking. You can go to a show at night and come walking back home at midnight by yourself.
And you feel safe.
No one's going to mess with you. It's just not going to happen.
Our first summer here, it was really pretty interesting. Because every summer they have this thing called, what is it? Notte Bianca? White Night?
White Night, yes.
White Night. And every piazza in Lucca is a different live music venue. You might walk into one and there's performers doing opera arias. You walk into another one and there's a rock group. You walk into another one and there's just a piano singer, that type of thing. You roam around the town from piazza to piazza and you drink, you party, you carry on. And the first time we saw it, we were amazed because throngs of people are going into the city center through
like
the walls.
Tens of thousands of people are walking.
Okay.
Wow.
Nobody's being stopped for a bag check. And you could look around and you could be sure that nobody's going to be armed with a gun. And we didn't see anybody falling down drunk.
That's so refreshing. It's every day now in the U.S. We hear something else today. I wake up.
Yeah.
Another 10.
10 in Los
killed.
Angeles.
In Los Angeles, right? You heard it. And another 10 injured.
Over here. And it's like, it's very disturbing.
Europeans in general, but Italians in particular, don't understand why Americans have guns. They just don't understand it.
I really don't either.
If in Italy, if you want to hunt, you can own a gun. But you've got to go to school beforehand. You apply to get the gun. You wait 30 days. You've got to make sure that in your home, you've got a secure gun locker and the cops have to come to examine it. When you want to go out and go hunting, you call the cops in the morning and say, I'm going out with my gun. I'm hunting in thus and such an area. When you get back home, then you've got to call them and say, I'm home now.
And here in Phoenix, for instance, in Arizona, it's open carry.
Oh yeah.
So it's like the Wild West.
It's very uncomfortable to see someone sitting in a restaurant next to me with a pistol hanging off their belt. I just don't know.
Here's an example. I went to, we'll say, a peaceful demonstration for Roe v. Wade at that time before it actually came out. The leak was out. So they were the women were protesting, and we came to support them. And there's these yahoos against the women's rights, abortion rights, and they have their open carry, their gun on their holster, and they're cursing everybody out in the crowds, not making me feel really comfortable living here.
I think it's scary, and I'm so happy not to be a part of that community right now.
I can't blame you.
Yeah.
Can't blame you.
Yeah, so, I mean, the crime here is pretty low. Bike theft is the big one. There are occasional assault that we hear about, but we don't really see them a lot in the news. And I can't remember. I don't think there's been one killing in Lucas since we moved here in 5 years.
That's pretty good.
Population of about, what, 90,000 people.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. I think one of the...
Because we hear it every day.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool aspects of life in Lucca. And one of them we haven't touched on yet that was on your original list is the arts scene here.
Yeah, I'd like to know about that too.
Well, having a community with strong arts is really important to me and to Jim. And Lucca has a thriving music scene going on. And there are two well-known music universities located in the center of town. And so you walk around the city and you just hear people playing instruments. You hear a piano practicing scales. You hear flute practicing. And every school kid has a musical instrument hanging over their shoulder when they're walking home. You see,
be it a violin case or trumpet case.
It's just part of everybody's culture. And they're actually, where in the U.S. you have statues of Robert E. Lee and stuff, in Lucca you have statues of musicians, marble statues of violin players and cellists. And
that's awesome.
Giacomo Puccini is the more famous of the...
He's the granddaddy of music in Lucca.
Composer. And so there are concerts all the time.
Every July is LSF, the Lucca Summer Festival. And it's just about, well, not quite every night, but maybe 5 nights a week. They're open air in Piazza Napoleone, or just outside the wall is a big field that there's a concert there. We can sit on our balcony and take the whole thing in. I said, the night that we got here, Pink Floyd was playing.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and then the following summer, the big one that was in that field was Elton John. So we had some friends over. We all sat out on our balcony listening to Elton John in concert.
That's great.
Yeah, Celine Dion every year keeps promising. Sting has been here. The Rolling Stones have been here. Yeah, and it's a lot of, I mean, there's some smaller names and then there's some bigger names. And last summer, we went to Umbria, to Perugia. And every summer there, they have this thing called Umbria Jazz. And actually, for those who speak English, it's Umbria. But we just, on a lark, went to see Diana Krall in Perugia. And great concert. She was amazing. And so the arts scene in Europe is pretty cool to begin with, but in Italy, and in particularly in Lucca, it's fantastic. It really
That's is. Great.
A quick side.
Does Lucca?
I'll do this quick, but we got tickets one time for a dress rehearsal of an opera in the opera house on a school day afternoon. Tickets were really cheap. So we go take our seats, and as we're looking at other people coming in, it's all middle school children filling up the theater. So I looked at Jim and I said, because I used to teach public school, I know what kids do. I said to Jim, this might be really bad. And the kids are sitting there with their cell phones and chatting away and stuff. But as soon as the lights went down, no adult said a word to them. Every cell phone went into a pocket. Every face was focused to the stage. And they were totally engaged in the concert. They were a perfect audience. And that would never have happened with a U.S.
No.
group of school kids. It just wouldn't.
No. That's unbelievable. That's a great
story. Cool. Yeah. But
how about theater?
Mostly musical theater, opera. In our area, I don't know of other live theater, honestly.
What's the Lago de Como? Not Lago de Como.
Torre del Lago.
Torre del Lago, which is where Puccini, I guess, lived. There's opera there in the summer. We've just basically have not gone out. The last few years here have been difficult because in 2020, we were all locked down.
Yeah.
You know, in 2019, I was basically recovering from spine surgery, so we didn't really do much. 2021, we're still dealing with COVID and stuff like that. We haven't really gotten out yet to explore some of it. But no, there are a lot of different venues for opera.
The visual arts are strong here too. There are a lot of gallery spaces, a lot of outdoor sculptural exhibits that come and go. So there's always something to participate.
Yeah, there's always something going on in Lucca for visual, outdoor sculpture, visual stuff. And they're big sculptures that will be life-size things in the piazza. And you just go from piazza to piazza. You know, every other things that are going on every month, it's like something like the third Saturday and the following Sunday is a huge antiques market that it happens in about four or five different piazzas in Lucca.
Interesting.
There's all sorts of different things. If you want to do cooking schools, there is never a dull moment. I mean, you can always find different things to do.
Something to do,
someplace to go. In the summertime, we stay home a lot because the tourists they're like roaches coming out of the woodwork. And nothing against tourism. I mean, but it's a double-edged sword. And if you're in a heavily touristed area, you just make adjustments for it. Sure. So in the summer, we don't really do much. But all the Italians, though, flock to the beach. And the beaches are mobbed with the locals.
Okay.
And then the cities are mobbed with the tourists.
Right.
And we stay home and watch movies and enjoy the air.
And just relax.
Cook and relax.
So tell the audience.
Fall in the spring.
Yeah. Tell the audience about healthcare in Lucca and Italy in general. What would you say the quality is to the U.S.?
With both of us in our 70s, I do have to admit that we have had our healthcare issues.
70s? You don't look a day over 50.
Yeah, I'm 70 and he's 71. I try. Well, it's that formaldehyde that I do a dose of every night. Keeps me well preserved. Growing up on an American diet, I've clogged my arteries. So needless to say, I've had some coronary issues. Rod had major surgery last year at Cicinello. He was in for three or four days. I had spine surgery right when I first got here. And it was really funny. I was trying to get a doctor from Scottsdale to take care of it because I was having some really bad back problems. And finally got in with a doctor in Albuquerque who didn't even introduce himself. He looked at my x-ray and he looked at me and he goes, "Young man, your back is a mess."
Oh boy, nice to say.
I know that. And I tried to get in with a doctor in
Scottsdale. Don't you just love when they say that stuff?
Yeah. And so they said, "Oh, it'd be at least until October." This is January. "It'll be at least until October before we can fit you in for a preliminary appointment." I said, "Well, look, do what you can." Finally, it was July. They called me one Friday in July and said, "Can you hop a plane to get over to Scottsdale? He can finally see you on Tuesday." I said, "Yeah, it's going to be difficult because on Monday I'm flying to Italy on a one-way. You can take that appointment." So I'm thinking in terms of like, okay, now I got to start from square one. What do I do in Italy? So I Googled Italy's best spine surgeons. And up comes this hospital in Bologna, the Rizzoli Institute, which is supposed to be Italy's premier orthopedic hospital. And I'm in the spinal department, and I'm seeing the names of all these doctors and their bios and all that. So I picked one whose bio looked good, and he was born in Philadelphia, even though he was Italian. And they said he spoke English. So it's like, let me send this guy an email with the written results of my latest MRI, thinking in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month, I'll hear back from his secretary. Exactly 8 minutes later, I got an email from him.
Wow.
Saying, come on up. We can see you. Get in touch with my secretary. I can see you next week. He got me right in. He did the surgery. The surgery was a success. Since we went the private route, because I would have had to wait 18 months if I went public, we went the private route. I had to pay for it. I put it on my Visa and I got points.
So you don't have the private insurance?
We have private insurance, yeah. We have Rob is retired military. So we have TRICARE insurance in the United States. And we've got double because we're also part of the Italian National Healthcare Plan.
Okay.
We're particularly lucky because we have a choice. We use the public health care frequently, most of the time. But if there's something that we feel like is more urgent and we don't want to wait, we can go private. And we have to pay up front with this insurance, but we get reimbursed within a month or two. So it's
okay. And that's from the U.S. insurance from the U.S.
So when,
oh,
when
so
I had
you're,
my
you're
back
lucky.
Surgery, I had my back surgery. I was in this private hospital in Bologna, a private Catholic hospital. He could have taken me in the public hospital, but it would have been 18 months and not in a private room. So I said, okay, we'll go private. I'll pay for it. Private hospital, one room, two beds. And he was with me for the entire time. They fed him. They took care of him. They changed his linen daily, just like they changed mine. They gave him a menu with a choice of wines, a first course, a second course, dessert,
like hotel,
fresh, like prosciutto, cheeses,
dessert. It was a lovely hospital.
It was really a night, not that
sounds
bad.
It.
Where in the United States, I would have had the surgery on Monday. By Wednesday, I would have been home. No, I was in there for 10 days. After the surgery, they started to get me up. They started to come in every day and do therapy, get me moving again. When I left the hospital, I was up and around pretty decent afterwards. And they fed him really well.
And me, did it cost you anything?
Pastina and brodo. Pasta and broth every day, which was pretty disgusting. But Rad was well fed.
Did it cost you anything?
The World Health Organization rates countries for their health care. And the last I looked, France was number one. Italy was number two in the world.
Yeah.
The U.S. is way down at around 40.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So the quality is excellent. The doctors are caring. They take time with you. And they just do a great job. I'm very, very happy with what we get here.
So yesterday, I had an appointment with a specialist. The appointment was at 8:30 in the morning. He was really prompt. I mean, by like 8:31, I was in there to see him. I was with him for 90 minutes.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
90 minutes never would have happened in the United States.
Never. No, never. That's wham, yeah, bam, really, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, we're really good. Very pleased with it.
Excellent.
A couple of people said, well, gee, would you consider going back to the United States for the healthcare? No.
Why?
I wouldn't even consider it. No way.
I don't blame you. If you can have it done there better, faster, more efficient.
Yeah.
Luca, being a relatively small city, has a very comprehensive hospital, modern. They can do surgeries like knee replacements and that sort of thing. Anything more major, you have to go to maybe to Pisa or someplace else. But for most of your medical care, there's good facilities right here in Luca.
So about longer than that. We've been here 5 years, probably about 8 years ago. I was having a cardiologist checkup, and they discovered that I had a little bit of a heart murmur. They checked it out further, and they said, okay, you've got aortic stenosis. You're eventually going to need to have your aortic valve replaced. So what we want you to do is every year come back and we'll do some tests and we'll check it. We'll monitor it. And when the time comes, we'll let you know and we'll have to replace the valve. So when I was getting ready to move, I went in for a cardio checkup and I said to the cardiologist, I said, we're moving to Italy, and when it comes time to have the valve replaced, should I come back here? And he just looked at me and he said, hell no. He said, they do it better over there. They've been doing it longer. And as a matter of fact, when I was trained in the procedure, I was trained by an Italian doctor.
In Italy.
Yeah.
I believe
it. So, yeah, so I had it done here last summer, if the time finally came. And I was able to wait long enough that I was able to do that on the public system. They put me into, there's a huge medical center here called the Heart Hospital of Tuscany. And that's where they did it. And I was there for a week. The incision to do it was about 2.5 inches long. In between two ribs, they did the entire valve replacement. Normally, it would be cut the sternum and it's really miserable and all that stuff. Now, it was only a couple of inches long. It was done robotically. I was there for a week. The food was terrible, but, you know, the service was good.
There you go.
And I never saw a bill for it. I have no idea what it cost.
Believe it.
That's yep. Socialized medicine, public health.
Yeah, I love it.
No one goes broke here because of medicine.
That's, yeah, and that's refreshing in itself. Yeah. So many people go bankrupt here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get to, do you guys know anything about the retirement visas and how to obtain a visa to come over to Italy?
What I do know, since we came over with my citizenship and Rod being married to an Italian citizen, it was much easier. What I know is, the last I knew of it, it could have changed. There was a thing that Italy did called an elective residency visa, where you could come over and eventually get permanent residency. You had to apply for the visa in the United States, and then you would come over and apply for what they call a permesso soggiorno.
Yeah, and you have to demonstrate that you don't need an income. So if you're retired, it's great. And you don't have to show a lot of income. Social Security normally is more than enough income. And in that situation, you have to renew your permesso every year for 5 years. And during that time, you have to get at least an A2 certificate of language proficiency. And at the 5-year mark, it becomes a permanent residency. And at that point, you could apply for citizenship if you want.
So they make you take a language test as part of that.
Lucca, and I think most cities in Italy, Lucca has, it's like a community college program that's designed for foreigners to get that kind of certification. And it's almost free. You pay 20 euro for the year, and it includes a textbook. And if you go 2 or 3 times a week, and if you go to class, you will get your certificate. It's just as simple as that.
Yep, that's great.
Yeah, it was a nice program. I mean, we enrolled in it when we first got here, but it didn't really work for us because we were advanced enough in the language that there were other issues that we wanted to tackle. We didn't want to just sit there and learn basic verb skills and grammar, etc. Because a lot of that stuff we knew already. I mean, we wanted to be able to bring our gas bill in and discuss it and ask questions about it, about
conversational.
The things we were confronting in day-to-day life.
Right.
With a private tutor, we've been able to do. God knows when we've had, we do lessons with Andreina twice a week. God knows we've hit her up with some things that have been crazy. And we go over it, and it's a learning experience, and it works out really good.
Excellent. Do you recommend hiring an attorney to help with residency, taxes, and purchasing real estate?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay. There's so many things that are just different here in terms of buying a house. I mean, it's just not like buying a house in the U.S. So, yes, you want to make sure you're doing it right.
And before we actually moved over permanently, we had contacted an attorney. And to look at her, she probably weighs like 92 pounds soaking wet. She's this petite little thing. She's absolutely phenomenal. She's just, She's got that beautiful Italian face and complexion, and you'd swear she's 16 years old. And she's an attorney. And I said, we're going to need this, 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 and this. And she wanted all of our contact information and all that. And then she wrote back and she said it would be 500 euro for everything. Which is really pretty reasonable. Yeah. And so she took care of all of our residency. She took care of getting us with the comune, getting our medical cards, getting Rod's permesso taken care of, everything. When we finally got the bill, it was 400.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we consulted her a little bit on purchasing real estate. We had when buying this apartment, we had a good agent, and it was really kind of funny. We had never experienced this before, where the agent sat us down at a table with a seller to negotiate. Normally, that's not done in the United States.
No, so you don't even see the seller.
Yeah, we're at this table with the seller, and he looks at me, and it's all in Italian. He looks at me and he goes, well, I have an offer for full price cash. So I just stood up and I looked at him. I said, well, then what are we doing here? Because I'm not going to pay you full price.
Right. Why didn't you take it?
Just take it. Oh, well, I want to sell it to you. I said, okay, fine. You sell it to me and you're going to sell it to me for this price. And we bantered back and forth and he came down on the price. And I said, okay, now what about the guy that was going to pay you full price? What are you going to tell him?
There was never an offer.
I'm sure.
They just play these games.
Yeah. It's kind of strange that you're with the seller.
Yeah. We thought that was kind of strange.
Not uncommon here.
But it's not uncommon here at all. It's not uncommon, but it worked out really well. And then we did consult an attorney on a couple contractual issues on real estate, but they weren't all that heavily involved in it because the agent we worked with was really good. And then there's another thing here called a geometra. Don't ask me what they do. They're like surveyors.
They just bill you.
And then they bill you. But he took care of a lot of the stuff with, right? The bureaucracy here is amazing. And Luca, our geometra, he's L-U-C-A with one C, as opposed to the city Luca with two.
With two C's.
Luca, he really took care of a lot for us. And then we also then engaged the services of an architect here because I couldn't, because I'm not registered in Italy, couldn't do the architectural work on the apartment. So he took care of it. And Sirio, our architect, did an amazing job. He lined up everybody. And actually, the design was mine, Sirio's, and Rod's together. We came up with and just would consult each other and throw around ideas and everything turned out to be really pretty cool. And it just all came together really nicely, but every bit of it was in Italian. Which was a bit of a challenge sometimes. It's a bit of a challenge sometimes, but for the most part, it worked out really, really well. And then tax wise, we have what they call, well, what's he called? He's a commercialista is the word for it.
An accountant.
He's an accountant. He's taking care of our tax issues. Rod, by virtue of his pensions and stuff being retired military, he's not obligated to pay Italian taxes on those. I, on the other hand, have to pay a little bit more because as an Italian citizen, I'm taxed on my income worldwide.
Mm-hmm. So owe income taxes to the U.S.
Yes.
And you're at a certain percentage in the U.S.
And then above and beyond into Italy, and it works out.
You
like
pay
that.
The difference in Italy, right?
Yeah,
the difference in the tax rates.
Yeah. And my situation's a little different, so I don't really have to pay the full difference to Italy. But yeah, we do pay some Italian taxes, but we find that it's really offset by a significantly lower cost of income or cost of living.
Cost of living.
Not cost of income, cost of living. And what we do the way we work it is we keep investments or pensions and stuff go into the States. And then what we basically do here is we have an Italian account, and every month our Social Security is deposited into that account. We live off of that. Yep. And then what we do is we get money over from our investments and stuff. We spend it and travel and do things like that so that we can get those balances down before we have to pay taxes on them. But then we do pay American income tax. So, yeah, you do. You do need to get wherever anybody would move to out of the country, you do have to really get that stuff taken care of so you know where you're at with tax requirements and things like that.
Let's say you transfer funds from your U.S. bank to your Italian bank. Every time you transfer, do you get that exchange rate fee?
Yes and no. It depends. Go ahead.
We use Bank of America, and it's a very easy transfer into our Italian account. They don't charge us any fees, and our bank here doesn't charge any fee to receive it. But they kind of negotiate the exchange rate for that moment, and it's not a perfect exchange rate. So the bank's making a little bit of money off of the exchange.
But when we transfer or when we have our Social Security deposited, there's no exchange rate.
Right, right.
There's no cost to exchange. It's directly deposited right into our account as to whatever that rate of exchange between the dollar and euro is that day.
Yeah, that's
great. It
comes
right in. And that's actually, that's enough to live off of.
To live on, yeah. Yeah. So in that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, in Italy.
I saw some statistics where what costs you $100 in the United States will cost you on the average of $58 in Italy.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Now, that's a
big difference.
Lucca is a little bit higher tiered than some other cities. And there's a lot of other places in Italy where you can live in the cost of living, the cost of real estate, the cost of rentals are all lower. But basically, Lucca's a pretty magical little town.
Yeah. If it definitely works and you're happy, why do anything else?
Exactly. So,
yeah. So living there for a few years, right?
Five years now.
Yeah. What would you say? Were there any cons?
The bureaucracy here can sometimes get to be really frustrating.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I mean, it's just bureaucratic. It's like bureaucratic like you would never expect.
Experience.
Not just with government, but like with things like banking and medical and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It gets to be kind of frustrating sometimes, but that's about it. You just sort of like roll with the punches. You sort of throw up your arms and you say, Italia, it's Italy.
Yep. There you go. So in wrapping up, what would you say to the audience if they're thinking about relocating to Italy or Lucca?
I would say, come on over.
I think what you want to do is come over for a month or two and try and live like the locals do.
Yeah.
Shop the local market, do the transportation, see what level of joy you have or what level of frustration you might experience. We actually experienced joy when we came here. Other people may not, but you just want to be here long enough to really know what life is like here. And it's quite lovely.
On our second visit here, we came over a couple times for long-term visits, like 4 and 5 weeks at a time. On our second visit, we were still kind of going back and forth. Do we want to get a little house, sell the big house in New Mexico, get a little place like a lock and leave and go back and forth? And we had an apartment that we were renting in the city center. So we came in, we flew into Pisa, we had them drop us off at the apartment. Got rid of the luggage, and we decided to walk down the street to go to the grocery store to pick up a couple things. We walked by the barber shop, and we got to know the barbers in this barber shop. They come running out to greet us. And then Carmine, the guy that owns the little trattoria that we love, stops in and he goes, "Hey, Jim, hey, Rod, welcome back. You come eat with me tonight." And I said, "You have a table at 8, we'll be there." And then we walk around the corner and the two ladies that work at the pastry shop that we had been frequenting on earlier visits, their arms are flailing, welcoming us back. And then we just looked at each other and said, "No, we got to do this permanently. This is
home.
This is going to be home." And that magic has really never left us, even with COVID, even with having some medical battles we had to fight, even with going through, and the renovation on our apartment was not that difficult. It was not like the under the Tuscan sun kind of thing. It was pretty smooth. Right. But we've had a lot on our plate since we've been here, and we've made it through all of it. And that joy has never left us. We still pinch each other and just say, "Where do we live?"
That's
where
great.
Live?
That's a
great. I think it's the best decision we could have made in terms of finishing our lives in a comfortable place where we've got everything we want. It's here.
Yeah. And I used to say, and people say, "What do you miss from the United States?" Well, certainly not the politics, certainly not the gun culture. But I used to say that I miss a McDonald's sausage biscuit.
But you have McDonald's there, don't you?
Yeah, but they don't have sausage biscuits.
They don't have sausage. Okay.
McDonald's in the morning.
It's probably too many chemicals.
It's a very typical Italian breakfast, which is a cappuccino, juice, and pastry. And that's what you get at McDonald's for breakfast. The rest of the menu is actually better because it's all Italian sourced. We don't do it all that often, but once in a while we'll treat ourselves to it. But after a while, that urge for the McDonald's sausage biscuit drifted away.
There are other alternatives.
There's other good alternatives.
Yes, yes, I'm sure.
But, you know, I miss family. I miss friends. But our friends have come over. Oh, my God, I'll tell you, our friends have come over. We had 14 house guests last year. Finally, after the last ones left in September.
We need a rest.
In the fall, we just looked at each other and we just said, "The hotel's closed.
It's closed.
It's out of business.
It's out of business.
Yeah.
It's
closed." I don't blame you. 14 is way too many.
And then I've got a cousin who's coming over in February, and we're really close to her, and so we're really looking forward to her visit. And then we've got another group coming in, or starting to come in May, I think. We're going to try to get out for a little bit of traveling ourselves. But to anybody moving abroad, a word of advice: be prepared for a deluge of people you haven't seen in years.
All of a sudden pop out of the woodwork.
They come out of the woodwork and say, "Oh, I'm going to come over and visit." Visitors we had last year, I do have to admit, we really enjoyed the company of the vast majority of them.
That's good.
We really had a lot of fun with them all. And we enjoy showing Luca off. And we pile in the car and we'll go for some nice road trips into the Tuscan hill towns, Montepulciano, San Gimignano. They're all just an hour and a half, 2 hours away. And they're easy to get to. And we love going to them. So we take our friends to them.
But that's great.
Yeah, the accommodations, though, are still kind of meager. Our guest room is basically a Murphy bed in our studio with a shower bath down the hall.
Hey, but you know what? They're visiting you. So, yeah, that they can't complain. Well, yeah. I want to thank you both for this podcast, for the time that you've spent with us and educated our audience on what life is like in Lucca, Italy. Thank you so much, guys.
Well, you're welcome. And like I said, if you do come over, if you and your husband come over, it's a Murphy bed in the studio. Bathroom's down the hall, but we'll fix you breakfast.
Don't mind. Thank you so much for the invite.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure.
Same here, guys. Thanks so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.